First off, Mr. Landry, how you doing, sir?
I'm hanging in there, old, fat, and ugly, but otherwise, surviving.
Chris was off last week, had some surgery. Your voice is strong, though. You sound good.
I don't know if my voice has ever sounded good, Bill, but I thank you. I don't have the Bill King genes, so I do what I can do.
Oh man.
Good to be with you, though, man. Good to be with you.
So during surgery, when you were about half out of it, did the surgeon ask you about name, image, likeness? Did that come up at all?
No, but I tell you what, I caught a little bit last night, but it was in the middle of it, and I'm going to go back and watch it at some point, maybe tonight. You know, C-SPAN, which I admit I know what it is, but I've never watched it. They had a committee meeting or whatever it was. It was maybe a couple hours or something. I taped it because I saw where it was going to be replayed at like 1 in the morning, and so I'll go back and watch it. I think Mark Few was there, Mark Emmert, but I did catch a little bit of it. My God, some of our members of Congress are some of the biggest idiots ever. You wonder where our country's gone to hell and but anyway, so I'm curious to see, you know, if there's anything that's coming out of that. But I think the real issue is, what are the guardrails? What are the regulations? How is this going to play out? Because there's a whole lot of questions, and nobody has any answers right now. It's interesting. And you know my feeling on it, that with the lack of organization, the college football, college athletics has always been very reactive and not proactive. So they don't ever foresee problems or plan for that. They just go with this. They get forced into a certain direction, and then they're having to kind of redirect based upon that. And, you know, you let a lot of people that really don't know anything about how college athletics works say, yeah, well, why not? Let them go make money. Yeah, of course, that sounds good. And there's, you know, nothing wrong with that in theory, but in practicality, it brings up like 9 million different issues that, oh, wow, I never thought of that. I'm like, well, you know, knucklehead, of course. Yeah, so this is going to be real interesting, and it's the beginning of a lot of changes in college football and college athletics that's going to be in the forefront. College football in particular with the playoff discussions that are getting more and more. Follow the money. The money is always takes you to what the result's going to be. Somehow, some way, it's just kind of like water sinking its level. Bill, follow the money, and it will take you where the decisions are going to be eventually. Always, 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 always. No exception.
Yeah, and if it's about the money, which, as you mentioned, it is, then that 12-team model, you would think, and again, I'm reading what you're reading, but it sounds like that's the one that at the moment has the momentum.
There's no question about it. I was having a conversation with Malice's. In fact, I sent you a text. I don't know if that was 2 weeks ago, last week. And, Scott Woodard, the athletic director over at LSU, was calling, and I was actually staining my fence and trying to get stuff done, and so I was kind of but he was talking to me about a couple of things, and then he mentioned I'm in the middle of a baseball coaching search, and he talked a little bit about that. But we talked a little bit about the playoffs, and not so much about name, image, and likeness. But so the playoffs is going to come down to it's not, you know, people will talk about, well, I don't, it's not good for the, folks, it has nothing to do with anything. You're just kind of talk. It's all about money, and it's all about, okay, how can you make, for example, the Pac-12 championship game, which me and three other people actually watch it, now all of a sudden is going to become more relevant, more of a money-making proposition, because just by the mere fact that it's going to be a de facto playoff game, a entry into the playoffs, that's a bigger game, a bigger moment. Everything throughout the history, Bill, has been about the money. You know, back in the day when you had one college football game on TV, Why was that? Because of money. They thought it was going to kill the gate. Then they realized that, well, you know what? More people are interested coming to the game because they see it on TV. Then you started to see more than just one game on a weekend. Then they put a cap on how many teams could play. And then you only had three networks. And then, of course, the cable boom came in. Now you need programming. Well, there's money. And then, of course, Georgia-Oklahoma's lawsuit that allowed each conference to go out and make money. It's all about that. So the playoffs are going to be – they follow the NFL model of money. We've now got – why does the NFL expand the playoffs? Because not enough good teams get in it? No, because they've got a tripleheader Saturday and Sunday, a wild card weekend. And that they can cha-ching, cha-ching, go to the networks and get an extra playoff game, two extra ones. Wow, that's money. Well, I mean, you're a fool out there if you don't think that the college folks are not looking at this because it's derived by money. Let's make more playoff games and more of this. It's not about, you know, you could talk about being more inclusive and getting more teams involved. Yeah, that's not the motivation. It's the motivation of the ones that are locked out. But the real motivation is, why is everybody going to go along with it? Look, more money, more money, more money. And it's going to create it to be more of a playoff sport. I think the elite games of the college season, while still important, will be less important. Georgia-Clemson is important this year. The loser still has a pretty good chance of making the playoffs in the current format. If it were a 12-team playoff, that game in regards to who makes the playoffs would not matter. It would have something to do with how you're seated once you get there, but both teams would make it. The Kick Six game, which was an elimination game between Auburn and Alabama, both of those teams would have made the playoffs. So those games will still be important, but not as critical. But what will be more, I guess, eyeballs to it is that game with two-loss teams that could still be in a wild card, at-large possibility situation, that game becomes more important where before they were out of it. Or the 2-3-loss Pac-12 South teams, the UCLA-Colorado game, that all of a sudden they're alive because they could still win the South, and then if they can upset the North team, they could still make the playoffs. Those type of games, I'm not saying they're going to break ratings records, but they're going to get more interest and more at the gate, more TV revenue there, and that's what they're looking for. So that's where we're headed, and I don't know if it's going to be 12, but it sounds like that's what they're thinking about because it doesn't give up the number of at-large teams that are available to the big-time schools while still giving the automatic berth to the schools that want a seat at the table even in given years when they don't deserve it.
If it's 12, Chris, would 3 or 4 or another number you may pick SEC teams get in on average every year?
I think you've got – it would depend. Obviously, who the second best team is. So the winner in the East or the West on the other side's right pretty good. They've got a really good shot. So the conference championship game would be strictly for the conference championship, which is really important. But the probability in the current era anyway, with where the teams are, yeah, both of those teams are in it. Now, to your point, who's that third team? All right, well, let's just take this year. You would think that, I'm just going to say, Georgia, Alabama, great shape. But I would think, if Florida has a good year, A&M has a really good year, they've got a shot. Would they take 4? Don't know, but 4 would be in the mix. 5 would be in the mix, even if they only take 3. 6 could be in the mix if they're good enough. If you have good, but you know that's kind of where I see it, because when you start to look at 12, you know you can say all right, all the conference champions, but who's the second best team in the Pac-12, in the Big 12, in the ACC? I mean, they better be pretty good, because if not, North Carolina might be a pretty good team, but are they better than A&M? Are they better than Florida? Are they better than LSU? Are they, you know, that could be interesting, and then that's where the politics are going to be. And do we give 2 to a conference if the teams look kind of similar, or do we go with the best teams, which the SEC folks will tell you that we probably got four teams that are better. It's going to be interesting, and there'll be politics that will be debated based upon who gets in within the 12. But one thing is for sure, the debate amongst the teams are not going to be anybody that's really capable realistically of winning a national championship. As we are right now, we don't have four that's capable of winning in a given year. But maybe it might make some of those ancillary playoff games a little bit more competitive. It may be competitive between two teams that have no chance of winning the title, but it might be competitive, just like maybe a wild card game in the NFL might be really exciting, and you got hopes that you might advance, but the reality is they're probably not Super Bowl teams. That's where I see this going. Like it or not, that's where I see it headed.
Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com. Chris, you have a few minutes?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right. More of Chris as we continue peering into the future of college football. If you have any questions, post them on Twitter. If it's an NFL question, that's fine. Chris does this around the clock. You cannot surprise him with anything. Post those on Twitter at BillisKing. Thursday edition. Ole Miss Evie will join us. Top of hour number three. Omni, Nashville Hotel.
Get into the Bill King Show. Shit, man, I just lost my train of thought. All right, dude, here's a couple of phones. 3, 2. Call 615-844-5600.
Chris Landry with us, LandryFootball.com. We'll let you know how you can get all of his content. Chris, we have expansion. We have name, image, likeness. We also have the craziness of the transfer portal. I saw this stat, and it read like this. Power 5 programs have lost an average of 12 scholarship players to the portal in this year's cycle. Tennessee is number one with 25 of them, but the average per P5 school is 12. And that's, Chris, a area. Now, NCAA in recent years had been more lenient, letting people transfer with no reason at all other than go. But with this new policy, more change and more newness. And your thoughts here?
Well, you know, it's, again, the same thing. Sounds good. Players should be able to go and leave wherever they want. Yeah, that's fine. But understand that the schools can work that to their favor and will. So that means that when you normally offered a kid a scholarship and you put him on scholarship, he stayed on scholarship. And if he didn't turn out to be as good a player, that's on you. And the player can still get his education. Now, transfer rules, we're going to move on, and we're not going to renew your scholarship. Oh, you could. It was always renewable, but you always renewed it because it was poor form to not do so. Now it is a license to ship guys out the door, and so many of those players don't have a home. The grass is always greener, and it is very, very difficult for them to maybe continue their career. And so, again, be careful what you wish for. These are the unintended consequences that people who think, oh, this is, seems like a great idea. You know, it's almost like the teenager that says, you know what, that seems like a good idea to, let's graffiti the wall of the mill. You know, it's like they don't think consequences. They don't think that way. These are adults, but because they don't understand the behind-the-curtains working of college football in this case, they don't know how that could negatively affect the players. And for the majority of these players, the transfer portal is a negative. For the ones that you know about and hear about as fans, it will benefit them, but the most of them, it will not. It is a revolving cycle. In fact, I added something to my – I was thinking about it as I'm putting all my previews of each of the college teams. the very first thing in the Pulse now is a sequential order of news and notes and analysis from the offseason. Because if you follow in our notebooks every day, we'll keep you up to date on who's transferring and who's visiting and this and that and the other. But if you're following a school, I got the Florida preview up, I got the A&M preview up. If you're following a school, you will, even if you follow it closely, you're going to forget who's left and who's come in. So that's the first thing we're going to do is remind you, you know, here's his, you know, here's his left. Here's what they contributed or the reason why they left. And then here's who's coming in and what they expect them to contribute, because it's very much like we had the theme here with the playoffs being more NFL-like. Tell me how this is anything but college free agency. It is what it is, and that's what's going to happen, to the point where, and I told you this, people are actually having specific big meeting rooms that are just like in the, because I've done some of the consulting on this, is how do pro teams organize their pro personnel department and their pro personnel boards. That's what college teams are doing now. So they have a recruiting room, and then they have, for lack of a better term, let's call it a transfer room, a college personnel room, where they literally list players in the country based upon intel that they would potentially recruit off of college programs. And I think I mentioned to you a couple of weeks ago, Hawaii, this is hilarious to me, because everybody's doing it, but Hawaii had the gall to name a guy on the staff. His official title is Director of Transfer Recruiting. It's his title. And everybody has that type of person now. That's what's going to happen. And that's what is happening. And that's what will continue to happen. And, you know, look, that's what it is. These are the results of the decisions that have been made.
Jim in Jupiter says, ask Chris, was part of the reason Marvin Wilson, defensive lineman there, not getting drafted due to the fact that he led a player revolt against Mike Norvell?
Well, yeah. I mean, the guy's not a good guy. And so a lot of what he did, he's a locker room lawyer. So let's flip it around. The reason why he did it, and he did it publicly, is that he's that type of guy. He's a locker room lawyer. Well, you know, knucklehead, if you're going to be that way, you don't think we're going to know that? You also put on the tape. That guy played like, you know, he was in the locker room and he never came out. This guy has a lot of talent, very little heart, low character. Yeah, that's why. This guy is perfect example of a guy that may be five-star talent, first-round talent and ability, played like a free agent. And look, if this guy was a big-time player and he played like it and he was a pain in the rear end, You might be willing to take him a little earlier and think, okay, put him in the right situation. But when you are a locker room lawyer and you don't perform on the field, you become an attitude issue, who wants that in their locker room? A guy that can't play, that's divisive? I mean, you know, that he's that's why. And of course, somebody will take him late and did because – you know, who knows? Maybe at that point you're dealing with somebody that is either good character that can't play, it's not good enough, or you take a guy and figure, hey, maybe I can change him, which 9 times out of 10 you can't, but on the 1 in 10 chances you can, give it a shot. That's the reason.
Georgia Dog says, Bill, ask Chris how the players added by Kirby Smart affects your perception of Georgia for this year.
Well, I think that they had big needs in the secondary, and I think they've helped there. I think Eric Gilbert can be, assuming that academically he does what he's supposed to do, and, you know, there's no circle of influence, doesn't cause a problem, this could be a real big weapon, because what it can do formationally with the passing game is, see, what Gilbert's going to be is he's going to be a big slot receiver. Okay, that's the role he's going to play mostly. But you can, because they've got a really, really, got one of the best tight ends in terms of an online tight end in the league. And what you throw in Gilbert, in addition to him, you can run two tight end sets, or you can detach him or you can run him in the big slot, which is going to be his predominant formation. So you can go to three wides, you can go to two wides. It helps your running game. It creates opportunities down the seam. I think that this is a real positive sign of having enough weapons to do things in the passing game that they have not done before. On defense, I think the additions in the secondary were critical, and getting them up to speed is going to be really important. The front's very good. The secondary is going to have to grow into it. They're a really good team that's got a lot of things going for them. And I think their chances in every game is pretty good.
We can look at the top. Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, those teams, or any other team, P5 team, Chris. You've got two streams of talent acquisition now. You've got recruiting, traditional recruiting, with obviously name, image, likeness becoming part of that too. But if you're Alabama Nick Saban, you can identify maybe outside linebacker, whatever position you are looking at the next year on, where you're a little thin or not quite where you want to be. And, Chris, you could literally behind the scenes go get you that guy who's already done it on the college level.
Amen. So think about this for a second. Alabama has lots of resources, and they do a great job of evaluating players. But the reality is, Blair can be five-star. He may not work out. His motivation may wane. He may, find a girlfriend on campus and football's not as important to him. Whatever. Something changes. He just doesn't pan out. And it happens at Alabama like it happens anywhere else. Maybe not as much, but it happens. It happens. But as I said earlier, when it does happen, they can do just what you said. They can send that guy off. They can remove him. You're not going to be on the roster anymore. And replace him, basically get another bite at the apple. Yeah, you know what? We could use another linebacker. You're right. And go get a ready-made guy and work the situation and work it to your advantage to where maybe you get him for a couple of years as a transfer. It helps you. It allows you to manipulate your roster even more because it allows you to cover up your mistakes even better. You see, in the NFL, free agency is usually bad value because you protect your best players. But free agency is really the teams that are most active in free agency are the ones that really have not drafted as well. And so they have to go out and find the ready-made guy. But they can't go get any guy. They can only get the guy that's available. But in college, you can go get anybody. There's nobody like, okay, this is the best guy. If you're at a big-time program, most kids would want to go to one of these elite programs. So it's like having free agency in college, but there are no rules that you can't go and get somebody. And don't tell me, oh, you can't contact someone. We know how that is done. There's contact done without, the being traced to the people involved. So think about it. It's free agency where you can go get anybody that wants to come, and there's no like contract involved because if a kid can leave, he can leave. And if he wants to come to you and you want him, it could be the best player on somebody's team. Still could come over to another place because you know what? We're linebacker you. We're defensive line you. We're defensive back you. We put more guys in the NFL. We're going to compete for championships. So you're absolutely right. So that's when people say the rich get richer, the strong get stronger. This is another example. If you have a bad recruiting class, you do a bad job of evaluating, it will set your program back, and it will probably cause your program to dip a little bit. There are going to be no dips for these elite programs because they can correct their mistakes now where they couldn't do it before. You had a bad recruiting class, you had to live through it. Now you can go out, like you said, and get 1, 2, 5, 6 guys and fill it in. There's no doubt. Oklahoma's made a living off of it recently with key spots.
Absolutely amazing. Chris, tell everybody how they can get all of your information.
LandryFootball.com. All the breakdowns, all the roster analysis. For example, on the college side, the film work and everything, worked through enough of that. We're just – banging out, we're going to begin banging out all these previews of all these teams, roster analysis. Who was the best graded players on each team, on every team last year? And who's coming back, who's not? Again, all the latest news and notes, the projected depth chart, roster analysis of incoming freshmen, the key transfer folks, all of that, we got the breakdowns for you. Probably it's about a dozen to 15 pages for each school. So if you were to think about it in a magazine sense, think about the detail. We're going to have all that for you for everybody. Do it on the NFL side as well. Our notebooks every day, all of our TV shows, our podcasts. We're really joining into a new network agreement that we're going to break out for the football season, part of a bigger football network that we've established. So things are going really good in that side, and we're really excited to everybody check us out. If you like football, you want to get a view from a coaching and scouting perspective, that's what we can provide for you that we think is a little bit unique compared to other things out there. So LandryFootball.com is where you want to go. Still got the scouting season sale up there, so take advantage of it, folks.
Chris, good to have you back, sir.
All right, thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.